You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. Yes, I'm in the building, safe and sound. Guys, I missed you guys this whole week that went by. So much to talk about. So many things have went on. A lot has happened. The gentleman that we were going to have on today kind of felt like this would be an emotional moment for him. You know, dealing with a lot of things that has happened to him. Transitioning from this young guy to an adult male, another guy, you know, with another story, very heartbreaking. You know, it was a little emotional for him today to come on. I spoke with him earlier today, and he felt like he's still just not ready yet to share his story with the world. So I kind of asked him, was it okay if I kind of shared some things, you know, about his situation? And he was okay with that. But, you know, guys, it's sometimes better when it comes from, you know, the horse's mouth, as they say, because it just comes out a lot better when you can hear where the person is coming from and know the things that they've been through and have more of an understanding, you know, of trials and tribulations of this thing called life and getting past situations and growing up, basically, you know, from a young boy to a man and having to raise children or raise, you know, young boys into men themselves. It's a very heartbreaking task sometimes. But, you know, I want to shed some light on another story. A family member of a gentleman wanted to come on today, and I ran it past the producers, and they felt like maybe I shouldn't bring the family member on because it's a little sad. You know, because men, they grow up sometimes to be very resentful. And this actually damages them mentally throughout the course of their relationships with people, women, you know, even their own children. And it's very heartbreaking to know that sometimes you try to help these people, and honestly, sometimes you just can't help them. You know, it's a very sad thing that actually goes on today with, you know, people going through different situations in their lives. But I really wanted to touch on a little bit of this family member that wanted to call in, and she wanted to share that there's a gentleman that is a cousin of hers. She wanted to clear the air for him so he could have closure in his life, because he's going through a very hard time just being accepted by, you know, family members, unknown family members. You know, he's been put in a tragical situation where, as a young boy, his mother lied to him about who his biological father was, you know, and it's really turmoil for a man. Women, sometimes they can get over, like, okay, that's not my dad. All right. You know, this is my dad. And you open your arms and you welcome them. You know, you say, well, let's pick up the pieces and let me get to know you. With guys, sometimes it's not that easy because, you know, guys are macho and I'm a man now. And what could he, you know, help me with? How could he help me grow? You know, I got my own life now. I raised myself. That's how a lot of grown men today look at it. But this story is so sad because, you know, he wanted to be accepted by this father that he thought was his father. And come to find out, the guy was not his father. And sad to say, the guy that he thought was his father has passed on since he found out that this man was his father, so he thought. And now to be hit with a big blow of, guess what? Your mom lied to you. That wasn't your father. You know, maybe your mom, you know, wrinkled the sheets with him, or maybe wrinkled the back seat of the car, but he's not your dad. And this guy basically is taking this so hard that he doesn't want to accept the fact that his biological father, not the guy who his mom said was his dad, the biological father is also deceased. And now he has no closure into, you know, finding out who, what, when, where, how. You know, it's very sad that it had to come to a tragic end of no closure for him. And meanwhile, he went on, you know, claiming the guy that his mom told him was his dad. He went on claiming that these family members of his was his family. This guy wanted to be accepted so bad into somebody's world, somebody's family, so bad that he took desperate measures. You know, the guy that really wasn't his father, he went through hell and high water to get his name mentioned in the obituary of the deceased guy. And now come to find out, like, you put your name in this man's obituary as his older son, and to find out that you're not even his son is even more heart-wrecking. You know, it's like someone's taking a knife and cutting your throat with it. You know, you can only go by what your mother tells you. You know, I was with this guy. Okay, he's the baby's father. It's a common practice today. You know, women sometimes don't know. Sometimes they do know. Sometimes women want to be accepted in families that they know are not really the, you know, they're not really the baby's father. But they want to be accepted in that world of that gentleman and his family and his peers to be welcomed, because they see that family orient there, and they know the guy that they truly lay down with is just a playboy. He's out there, he's running around, he has no time for you or this baby. So, you know, the mother went on with this lie on her deathbed. So his mom died, the man who he thought was his father, who he died for, you know, to get in the obituary, to put his name in there, just to say that I have a dad at the end of the day. You know, it is very heartbreaking because now his mom is dead. The biological father is dead. And this grown man has no closure, you know, and you got to think about the psychological part of this. You know, it's a lot of damage, because here it is, this guy, he's in the workforce today. Not even just the workforce, he's in law enforcement. So can you imagine the psychological damage that was done to him? And mind you, I'm quite sure the police department doesn't know that he has this psychological damage going on. And guess what? When is the last time they gave the guy an eval? You know, and guys, by the way, I say that to say, he could be the type of policeman that goes around and makes arrests, and because of his mental disability, of the trauma that he experienced as a kid, you know, he could be taking this out on innocent people and maybe saying, hey, this person committed a crime, when in fact they did not. You know, so it's kind of heartbreaking that you have people in law enforcement that do have real mental issues, and it gets overlooked because people seem to forget that they are just normal, everyday people, not mentally stable, but they're everyday people that have to serve the public. And as you guys know, you know, you've seen it, you've heard about it. It probably even happened to you and some of your family members. You know, that a little white lie was told on you. You know, it's not what you did, it's how they wrote it. And now they're thinking back on how they were abused as a child. And now they're like going through all this childhood trauma while they're writing this report. And sometimes you ever wonder why the report is so long? It's long because they start having flashbacks of childhood trauma. And then everything that they feel emotionally is in that report. And it's against you, unfortunately. And I'm never going to be the one that is for any type of police brutality or wrongful doing of any law enforcement out of any agency. It's just not right. Because guess what? I have children. You guys have children. You have family members. Anything can happen to anybody. You're just not exempt. It happened, as a matter of fact, to an FBI agent. You know, a police officer wrongly accused him of doing something and he had to address it. But unfortunately, the agent didn't know that this cop had childhood trauma, and it all came out during his, you know, his interview. And everyone kept that side of him hid because it was basically favoritism. And this plays a lot in cases, you know, with police brutality. And really, it's called the honor of the blue code. You know, you wear blue, you're down for the team. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to be truthful when you're arresting someone or you're issuing a warning to someone. It's good to be on the fair side of things. You know, it's good to know that you did the right thing in coming forward and saying, hey, listen, this is not what happened. But they call those people snitches. So you have snitches on the street, you have snitches, you know, even in the police department, because when one brotherly love sees another brotherly love doing something wrong, they're like, you know what? I have standards. Let me stand up and say, this is not what actually happened. And then all of a sudden, this cop is blackballed. Cop, agent, whoever you may be in law enforcement, corrections, it happens in all divisions today. So it's good to know sometimes that you can watch for the signs of even getting pulled over for a traffic stop. You know, people say, be careful because you don't know how this cop's day is going. Well, it shouldn't be about how a cop's day is going. It should be everyone is treated fairly and equally at all times. But you know, you'll hear that. Like, you may run into the cop that's on the bad side of the bed today. So guess what? You don't want to run into that cop. You want to be as compliant as can be. You know, and unfortunately, there are some people in law enforcement that get caught up with bad seeds. You know, I can recall even saying to someone in law enforcement, because they were working in a certain division, and I said to this young rookie, I said, why do you want to work in this particular division? And I was honest with him. I said, don't mess up your career because they are corrupt here. Like, don't get yourself tangled up. You seem like a really good kid, you know, and if he took the advice, fine. If he didn't, fine. He actually spent some division, you know, getting his hands wet. Unfortunately, sometimes they get in bed with the wrong affiliates that they work with. It could be their partner. I mean, you guys seen Training Day. You've seen Training Day. Denzel had this guy doing a little bit of everything. And guess what? He had so much dirt on him, this guy couldn't even like stand up for himself and say, guess what? I don't want to be a part of it. You know, he's doing drugs with him. Well, actually by himself. And, you know, he's doing all kind of craziness. He got himself caught up and he couldn't back out of it. So, you know, it's unfortunate that they have people who take on these rookies and they make the senior law enforcement personnel like the supervisor of this trainee. And they tend to have, you know, bad habits. They pick up bad habits from their supervisor trainee. So it's good to know, guys, that you have options out here today. One I'll tell you is you have options to actually get proper legal representation. Don't get yourself a freebie. A freebie sometimes can lead you down the wrong path. And I'll tell you about that as well. Not everybody's going to be on your team. you know, public defender, public pretender, as I was told they were called. I didn't give them that name. That's just their name. So, you know, sometimes you have to be very careful on your choices, because the choices you make, you can't, you know, hang up the phone and redial the number. Like, you pick that number, that's your number, that's your ticket. So be very careful on how you pick your team, because sometimes your team is really not on your team. You know, so just be very careful, and be careful with the guy that's on the, as they say, who woke up on the wrong side of the bed, because you just never know today. He may have already woke up on the wrong side of the bed just by, like this, you know, gentleman who's on the force, not knowing his real dad, dealing with the trauma, you know, just having bad psychological behavior of saying, okay, this is my sister. No, sir, that's not your sister. You know, just a life of pretense. And the family member wanted to bring it out and come clean. And I did explain to the family member, we don't mention names on the show, just for purposes of people not harassing or finding out who the person is and then having a direct one-on-one of how they really feel about the situation. But there's tons and tons of questions that pop in that we will get to for our past guests. And, you know, to let you know that there's questions that this family member, she also had questions to ask the audience to get their feedback on how she should address this family member, who is really her family member through biological DNA genes, how to get him to cope with, you know, reality and stop living in this land of make-believe. You know, she wanted some answers from the audience to hear what they would have to say, you know, about how should she handle it going forward with her family member? You know, because she's called him out. She's told him. Matter of fact, he has an older aunt that had sat him down and said, listen, you know, as bad as you want this guy to be your dad, he's not your dad. You know, and if it came from an older aunt, you would think that, okay, she must know something I don't know. And let me just accept the fact and accept what's being told to me. But instead, you know, he wants to live the lie, which I feel like when people live lies, it conduces a current in your brain of make-believe. You know, they got this place called the Land of Make-Believe. You take your kid there and it's like Fantasy Island for a kid. You know, it's like this guy is probably living on Fantasy Island, you know, and I don't know if you guys seen the movie, but they put you in a place where you want to be, and it's almost lifelike. And you're having that experience of this is actually what it could be. You know, and it's sad, but sometimes people need to wake up from the dream and come to reality and say, hey, listen, I'm really not a relative, and I apologize to the family for actually tormenting their life, because this is torment to the gentleman that passed away who he thought was his dad, because guess what? That guy had a whole life. He had children. He had a wife, you know, a real woman, a wife. You know, her children was by her husband. Not saying that there's anything wrong with having children outside of a marriage, but they knew who their children, you know, that's my mom, that's my dad. You know, they knew the triangles and they knew where they fit. And then you got a guy, guys, you're never going to believe this for me to tell you this, but the guy who is seeking love, he's 60 years old. How incredibly psychotic is that? If there's a guy nearly 60 years old looking for closure, and there's nothing wrong with looking for closure at any age, But you're battling who is your dad at almost 60 years old. You are mentally damaged. I mean, it's sad. I mean, I don't even know the advice that I could give to this cousin of his. And I see, you know, tons of, you know, texts coming through right now on my phone of things that could be addressed, you know, like one, maybe he should see a psychiatrist. You know, a psychologist might be a little too lenient. Maybe a psychiatrist would be a better match for him because, unfortunately, he may not be able to take psych drugs because he's still a police officer at this age. So that goes to tell you something. The guy doesn't even have a life for himself. He hasn't gotten past, you know, childhood. Maybe he's still living the dream of he's still that 25-year-old police officer that came on the force. You know, it's damaging, you know, a guy at that age running around saying, you know, this could be my dad or no, he's my dad. I mean, at that age, I can't even fathom that. That's like more like he would be my grandfather's age. It would be like me feeling my grandfather is looking for his father. You know, it's unheard of in these times. Usually grown men, what they do is grown men, real men, they pick up the pieces and they say, I was born a boy. I made myself a man. So now that boy who is a man becomes self-made. Okay? So at this age, you're trying to fiddle around and find out who's your dad and just accusing anybody in sight and claiming family members. You really need to get, in my opinion, and I'm by far a doctor, you know, but in my opinion, he needs psychological help. And I would really question the police department that only gave him the psych eval upon hire. I think more officers and people in law enforcement need to get evaluations done quarterly because, one, you're on the job. Two, you're going through so many transitions of dealing with different people, different cultures. Three, you're dealing with childhood trauma that you never got a chance to break free from. So it's haunting you. And unfortunately, guys, this may haunt this guy for the rest of his life. He may never come out of this fantasy island in his mind of who his father was. And of course, it's no fault of his. He was just born into the segment of drama. Okay, his mother caused that for him. You know, she didn't say, son, here's your dad. Let me take you to your dad. Let me call your dad. Let's bring this thing to the table because I'm raising a boy who's going to be a man one day and he won't be able to function. You know, you don't want your kid running around wearing your bras and your panties. You know, so you have to take into consideration as a mother going forward, how are you going to be a man that's now in his almost 60 looking for his roots? He thought he had some roots, you know, but it was all a scam, you know, mental scam. It wasn't a scam where he's out there scamming people. He was bamboozled by the woman that gave him life. You know, and how do you overcome knowing that the woman that you're supposed to trust lied to you all these years? You know, the cousin said to me, well, first she told him his dad died in the military, you know, and then she said, well, no, after that, she came up with another story of how his father raped her and that's how he was conceived. You know, that's kind of heartbreaking for a man to say, I was born through torture, through rape. And then you have to wonder, if this was the fact, what has that done to him mentally? Like, how sane is he? Like, is he the type of guy that's going to run around and fabricate stories and make up things on people? Or is he going to be that guy that says, I don't want to follow that trend. I got caught. you know, in the crossfire. And I don't want to be a part of the statistics of what people like me could end up as, even though I decided to join the police department and make a change for maybe another young man, a young boy that could be suffering from the same thing. He had a very tragic upbringing. You know, his cousin said that he was a former drug dealer, now police officer, which, hey guys, listen, it's never too late to turn your life around. You know, it's too late instead of trying to beat them. So that could be another good thing going forward in somebody's life, that he made the change to say, I don't want to be a drug dealer. I choose to be a police officer. Now, did the police department know about his past? I don't think so. But usually, guys, when you're a drug dealer, you know, it's people from the streets that know you and they know your street name. And then when they see you with your government tag on your uniform, they're like, well, who are you? You know, your name was whatever your name was. But, you know, it's a common practice that they typically take on different names. They have street names. And, you know, I commend him for, you know, leaving the drug life alone and having, you know, street people maybe one day recognize you that you have to arrest and saying, hey, wait a minute, we used to sling together and now you're on the other side of the fence. Guys, I tell you, nowadays, you never know who is who and you don't know about anybody's past. So sometimes you got to do a little bit of homework, because just because they wear the uniform and the badge doesn't mean that they're good people. You know, that psychological damage goes a long way and it runs deep in the DNA. And sometimes it's nothing they can do about it. But guys, you know, I hope that this message got across to many people that maybe suffer from the same type of damage. And hopefully I have sent a message that, you know, it's not too late. It's never too late to find out who your biological dad is. But one piece of advice I would give is always do a DNA. You know, don't go off your mother's word. Go off of what the DNA test is going to tell you so you can have accurate closure. I don't know why some men are afraid to take that DNA test. Like, I'm scared. I don't want to do it. Well, if you don't want to do it, then you should have never laid down with the person to conceive this innocent person that is now going to be damaged goods forever. And guess what? All thanks to you that they're damaged because you weren't man enough to stand up and say, guess what? Take my DNA. I want to know, you know, if this is my kid or not. Unless, you know, back in the good olden days, olden but golden days, where, you know, if your hand was in a cookie jar, the cookie is yours. So that's how it went back then. But hopefully this man will find some type of closure at his old age. I'm hoping for his sake, because to kind of pass away with that on your chest is not a good feeling. You know, everybody needs closure to whatever's going on in their life. And I like to say, because his cousin is actually listening on to the call today, and I want to let her know that whatever support you can offer, please offer it, because he's going to need your support going forward. You know, especially after the revelation, you know, it's coming to closure here for him of, guess what? I'm in an obituary and this man's not even my dad. You know, so hopefully he can get closure, and family member, stick by him. You know, it's a joint effort. But guys, I have someone coming on the line today that's going to be talking about their hardship with their child's mother, because it's always the women who people say are victims. It's always the woman. The woman is the victim. The woman was battered. The woman was this. The woman was that. So I don't want to be biased when it comes to men. I don't want to, you know, say it didn't happen and it did happen. I don't want to put myself out there like that, but guys are sometimes victims too. And we all take that for granted. And then you got some guys who are not truthful and they play victims and they're really not victims either. So that is another thing to take a look at when guys are saying, guess what? She stole my money. She robbed me. She did this. She did that to me. It all goes back, guys, to what type of trauma has this guy been through? You know, because sometimes guys do file false complaints as well. So, you know, you can't be reluctant to think that that doesn't happen. You know, it sometimes it's not the disgruntled child's mother. It could be the disgruntled child's father that comes up with all these stories, but they forget to take a look in the mirror at themselves and say, you know, to realize they're the actual problem. You know, and it's sad that some dads have to go through situations where, you know, they battle the court system. And the court system sometimes can either be for you, depending on the nature of the circumstances involved, or they can be against you. So you have to weigh the odds when you're getting yourself tied up in the court system. You got to know the odds, the ends of what you're getting yourself into. And you have to know pretty much that you got a good team of attorneys or a good attorney that's going to represent you, because at the end of the day, you just don't know. The caller is on. Hey, caller, how are you today?
Hey, how you doing? All right.
Fine. Now, I was just sharing with my listeners about how women always pretend to be like the victim. And, you know, sometimes it's the guys that are the victim of true situations, especially when it involves children. You had a situation some time ago where you were actually the victim and the child's mother was pretending to be the victim. How did that end up happening?
Well, I mean, it's bittersweet. You know, at the end of the day, you always want the best interest of your child. And, you know, going through the court proceeding and trying to do everything the right way, sometimes it just doesn't go our way in favor of fathers. You know, I went through the domestic violence with the mother and, you know, the abuse and everything. And I just tried to do my best to go through the proceedings the proper way to get custody of my daughter. But the judge sometimes doesn't see it your way because the mother sometimes manipulates the kid, you know, because the child is always in the custody of the mother. So you don't get to really, you know, have communication. They manipulate the kid with the majestic, the person in the middle, the mediator, and intimidate the kid to say that they don't want to go with the father, even though they really do. So you don't want to do too much and get angry at the child. So you just got to sometimes let things go with God ways. But when it comes to men and their children, yeah, it's pretty hard to, it has to be like just blatantness to prove stuff when it comes to women in the court hearing and the scenes.
Well, let me ask you, when you would get, because of course you had visitations with your child, what type of your got her nice and clean? Like, what type of condition was she in?
I actually was the opposite. That was one of my main reasons for concern, because she wasn't tidy and she wasn't eating properly. And she was just, you know, she looked very sad and depressed. So, you know, I did everything and I tried to go through the court. And you got to understand, it's all about money. So even though a man may pay child support, a percentage goes to the court. So if the mother doesn't have a good job and the father does, it's like, are we really going to take away for the money? This is what pays our bills. It's all a system of, it's just a system that's not really built for fathers. And I wouldn't just say black fathers. I would say any father, white, black. The system isn't really for us. So, you know, I went to the court, asked the judge, and the judge also said, when I explained everything, showed proof of documentation, school letters, teachers saying that she shouldn't be neglect, abuse, and the judge just looked at me and said, sometimes my kid is untidy. I'm not taking the custody away from the mother. And it just kind of put a damper in spirit on your confidence in going through a proceeding, paying for lawyers. It's just sometimes a no-win situation for men.
So at one point in time, things got really, really bad for your child, and you weren't getting the answers you needed. And you took it a step further to actually get child family services on your team. And what happened after that situation?
Actually, even when I took it that further, the child services, if they go to the house, even though there can be neglect and proof of neglect, it really takes a lot. Mother has to, with that situation, what I went through, that's what they told me. Like, oh, she's not using drugs or drinking. We can't just take her away like that. And we just have to continue to monitor it. And they monitor it and monitor it. Well, they really don't want to take a girl away from a mother. That's just what it boils down to.
And you currently still pay child support how many years later?
This is about 10 years, this is about 7 years later, and I pay about $1,300 a month. And at the end of the day, it wasn't even about the money. It was for the best interest of my daughter, and I've seen the changes. And now that was 7 years ago. She was about five at the time, and 12 now. It's just, she's a different kid, you know? It's really different and sad, you know?
Do you have a good relationship with your daughter, or is the mother like trying to influence her?
No, it's not good at all. I got to be honest with you, and I try very hard. And she, it's just hard going back and forth with the visitation, the violations, and everything like that, and trying to see her. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough with work scheduling. You still have to pay bills, so it's hard, to go through all that.
So, do you think if your daughter was in your care, she would like have a better handle on life? And now she's getting into the teenage years. You think it would be better if she was with you?
Absolutely, because see, I want her to just focus on school and don't have to focus on trying to raise her younger siblings and being grown before she's a child. Just enjoy her youth and education. And that she's doing pretty much the opposite of that. And it's really hard to prove, like I said, going back and forth with the court hearing, it's just sometimes not even worth it. It's pretty hard.
So, what advice would you give to a father today who is trying to get custody of their child, dealing with the court system? What advice would you give them today?
Well, I would just tell them to be positive. Make sure what they're doing is for the best interest of the child. Make sure you always articulate yourself in front of that judge and look presentable. And just make sure you do what you can for the child. I know I'm being repetitive because I just said that, but you just have to stay on top of that. And it's pretty much a prayer when it comes to going to court. It's pretty hard. Like I said, neglect, drugs, or alcoholism, or physical scene abuse is what gets custody for men, and that happened often. It's sad.
I really appreciate you calling in and giving out that great advice. Caller, thank you so much. And we'd like to have you back on the show one
Okay.
day.
All right. No problem. Have a
Okay,
good
have a
day.
great night. Bye-bye. Guys, I tell you, food for thought. Anyone battling the court system out there today, that was some really good advice. Poor care. And guess what? The guy still can't even get his foot in the door. Just pay the money, pay to play, one of those systems gets child family services involved. And guess what? They're still like, we need our paycheck. We're going to leave it with the mom, regardless of what condition she may be in. Just leave her there, hair not combed, clothes dirty, unkept. Just a really sad situation. And guys think that the system is here to help them. Like, you know what? I can't battle with this mother anymore. Let me just take it to the courts. And he goes as far as getting Child Family Services involved in his life and in his business, of course, because they want your blood type, everything from you, to like, you know, say you're giving it your all, and then to be turned down, walked on like a wet paper bag, because you can't put anything in a wet paper bag. It's useless at that point. So this guy's done everything that he can do to like try to help himself and help kid. Teenage years are very crucial. A lot of parents don't realize that, especially mothers who is raising these teenagers today, or the teenagers maybe raising themselves and their younger siblings. It takes a lot away from their life. They don't get a chance to really enjoy being a kid. You know, it's just a very sad thing. You know, it's more like, I'll tell you a brief story. Is very brief, of my own life. You know, my dad never saw me again from the age of 7 until I turned 20. My mother and my dad had this beef in DR that stemmed to the United States of America. And when my mother got here, her attitude was, when you get grown and you can see him on your own, then you see him. And you know, me as a teenager, when I get of age and I can travel to go see my dad, I'm going to see my dad. And guess what? That's exactly what I did, you know? And sometimes parents put kids in the middle of adult situations and they just don't belong there. You know, and people don't realize that you're actually hurting your child. You're not hurting anybody else but them. And I'm very grateful to have known my dad as a young child and as I got into adulthood, growing into a woman. I really appreciated the conversations that my dad and I had. You know, he would cry a lot because he felt like it should have been something more he should have done on his end to work things out with my mom. And sometimes it's just not there. You know, it's like beating a dead horse. And me growing up into a grown woman and a parent, you know, because I'm a mother and I'm down for my kids 1,000,000%. And I tell you what, I always said that I would never want to do what was done to me. So I always kept a good co-parenting relationship because both of my children came from marriages and both of those children are a part of divorces, unfortunately, but they came out of marriages and I learned to co-parent, not that I wanted to, because you know, sometimes two people are never going to agree. Everybody has a different personality and a different view. But I learned to co-parent. And even my ex-husband said to me, you know, you should be very grateful that you have two great ex-husbands that take care of their kids. And, you know, you got great relationships. And it's only great because I wanted it to happen that way. It didn't have to necessarily happen that way. I could have been that disgruntled person and held a grudge and been upset and, you know, put my kid in the middle of it. And I had to say to myself, that's not what I want for my kid. I want my kid to have a normal upbringing as though her parents are still married to each other, even the oldest to the youngest. So, you know, they can grow up with a normal life and they don't have to be subjected to, you know, being in a position with daddy issues and running to older men for comfort, because this is what happens a lot. Young girls go out there looking for daddies and they miss the love that they never received. I never wanted that for my child. And I can honestly say my mom never put her children in that position either, because we had a great stepdad. You know, he was a great, great, great stepdad. And she never wanted us to have that void, even though she didn't deal with, you know, our father. You know, she felt like This is the current situation, and you have to adapt now to this lifestyle of this co-parenting situation with a stepdad. So it's very, you know, hurtful when a girl has to grow up and she becomes a target of the streets. You know, the streets will suck these young girls in and they will chew them up and they will spit them out. And now these young girls become mothers at a young age, and then they have no guidance. They have no view. They don't know what to expect. You know, they don't know what real love is like because they've never had a father who showed them love, much less a stepfather. It was more like mom had this guy and that guy and the garbage man in the alleyway and, you know, the electric guy or whoever guy. She had all kind of guys. So every guy was just a guy who was passing through for the moment. And this is all that this young girl picked up along the way. And that's all she knows how to do. So a lot of times people don't realize that the mind absorbs, and these kids, they view a lot. These young teenage girls, and they think that this is the way things are supposed to go. You know, and thank goodness my children has always seen me as their mother, a married woman. Never been a woman that was, okay, this guy's coming over today, that guy's coming over next week, this guy's coming to my house to spend the night. You know, mothers have to take some type of responsibility for their actions, you know, and don't just wonder, why is she like with all these different men? And why she doesn't know, you know, who's the baby's father? And she guesses down the road somewhere, oh yeah, he is the father, because yeah, he looks just like that guy. You know, maybe he's the dad. You know, women have to take accountability for their actions, and they got to take a stand. You know, it's like, it's a sad story, but guys, we'll get into it one day because we're narrowing down on the time. But it's a young lady that was being sold by her mother, and we're going to get into that story. But at a later date, because I'd like her to come on the show, because she's done some really great things after being solicited at the age of 10 for, you know, in exchange for drugs for her mom. So it's a very tragical story for her because she had to endure this. And all she knew going forward was how to sell herself. And today she's a very successful woman. She was on the Wendy Williams show a few years back. They did a great fundraiser for her nonprofit because she wanted people to know her story, you know, and she was addicted to drugs as a young girl, but she overcame that by putting herself in the right place at the right time to go get herself clean, to be, you know, a good woman today, you know. And I would love to have her on this show so she can tell her story of where she's been and where she's at now in her life, you know, doing good things for young girls who have addiction issues, prostitution issues. They have kids that are just, you know, either with the family members or who knows where, you know, good things to come out and be revealed from her. And hopefully it can reach someone young. And I know some people that are listening on today think, it's about this person. Oh, it's about that person. No, it's about a specific person that I will put on the show. And she can share some light in on her life and how, you know, you can also overcome, and moms, how to be better moms, because she has two little girls, you know, through her transition to life. But I'd like to thank you guys for joining me today. It is an overwhelming 8 million listeners on today, a little low than last week, but I guess people were busy. I look forward to everybody coming back next week. I got a great guy coming on the show. He just got successful custody of his two girls out of a bad situation. He'll be on next week to share his story. Thank you all for coming on. See you next week. Same bat time, same bat place. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night, guys. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.